This
Not here.
conference will now be recorded.
Is Sean Christensen going to be here or not?
I see him on there.
Yeah, I'm here. Hold on. We're trying to, Kelsey can't hear anybody, so we're trying to figure out if the record will work, even though she can't hear.
Hey, Sean, I had something similar to that, and I just hit the speaker button, and it all popped open. The volume came up, and it was kind of a, I've never seen it that happen before. Usually the audio is there, and, you know, but it was just, there was nothing going on. And I finally said, well, let me check my speaker. Hit the speaker. The volume came up.
Okay, she'll try that. But right now it looks like the record is working, and if she needs to hear, she may need to dial in, I guess. She was just worried about recording through the phone, if that was going to work.
That should work.
I think just try it, Kelsey. If you want to dial in to listen, you can do that. Does that work? And if it doesn't work, then we'll log out and I'll start it. All right, thanks.
Right. You know, we could have another meeting, you know, on Friday, Sean.
No more Friday meetings.
I'm just joking.
How about Saturday?
Sunday? No.
No.
All of the days?
Yeah.
We already have them on all of the days.
Mr. Hansen?
So the question is, what day is it? That's the first question. So decide what meeting it is, because you have to figure out what day it is.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm just trying to figure out why this won't let me in. Dang.
Julie's
any other time,
I take it?
I just clicked on the link and it would open.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I know. It's the first time it hasn't worked for me. I don't understand.
Hey, whatever, don't share that with me, whatever you do.
All right, you think we just roll with it or what?
I think we're good, if you are.
Okay. All right. Well, I have 5:02. Let's go ahead and call the Public Works Public Safety Committee meeting for Wednesday, April 22nd to order. I'm just going to go around. We can all state who's here. I am Andrew Plowman. Audrey?
Audrey Nelson.
Fernando?
Fernando Alvarado.
Julie?
Julie Osmus.
Our Public Works Director?
Sean Christensen.
Our City Administrator?
Brian Grumitz.
Our Public Works Superintendent?
Gary Manzer.
I see our fire chief is with us.
Frank Hansen.
And Kelsey Del Bosque, I believe, is also on the line with us. I see her anyways, and I see the record, so we'll just go ahead and hope that she can hear us. All right, the agenda item that I have is regarding district heating upgrades and a number of different areas underneath that. So is that going directly to Mr. Christensen?
I can, Mr. Chair, if you'd like me to take that and run with it. And then when it comes to decision time, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, it sounds good to me. Take it away.
All right, in front of you tonight, of course, the motion is not going to mean much until I get through some of these details. And so we may venture or veer a little bit from our standard operating procedure where we do the motion first. If you wish, I guess, Mr. Chair, that's up to you. But the motion itself is pretty simple in that we're going to authorize staff to solicit quotes for the recommended heating sources of all three facilities. In front of you tonight, three facilities we're going to talk about are Rack 8, the Auditorium, and City Hall. Starting with Rack 8, first one on your car form. I'm not going to say it's the easiest one to discuss, but that'll be our jumping off point. These three facilities are no longer going to have district heat as of July 1 of this year. And so that is the common thread for all three of these facilities, city-owned facilities. The options, we've got two options put together for the heating source at Rack 8. Electric or gas. Electric heat would consist of electric heat would consist of 2, 4, and 6 foot baseboard heaters throughout the building. The conversion to an electric heating system is estimated at $10,000. Okay, so currently we only have estimates, and we have not gone out for full on quotes because we're waiting for that authorization and the decision from the council to do so. The gas would require removal and existing of the hot water coils and replacement of the two furnaces along the vent and condensation piping, duct modifications, and roof terminations. This conversion to gas heating system is estimated at $23,000. This again is just for the Rack 8 building. Staff recommendation for this particular building is to convert to the electric heat for an estimated $10,000. And I will tell you, there's a couple other caveats that I did not put in more of a in the CAR form that are more discussion items. Of course, with the lower cost initially, as you all know, electric heat is going to be higher utility bills than gas heat. So you've got a lesser cost up front, more cost for continued utility usage. That's probably the biggest difference outside of your annual required inspections of the gas system. Mr. Chair, do you want to discuss each one individually at this point?
Maybe you could just like give us the full synopsis, and then because we may do them as individual items just for thoroughness, maybe we'll jump back to discussion for the individual projects once you're done covering the total project.
Okay, fair enough. On to the auditorium, and then that way we can probably open it up to questions collectively at the end as well, if that works for everybody. Auditorium is probably one of the probably the easiest of the three, if I was to venture a guess at that. We're needing authorization for staff to solicit quotes. This would be the choice here is for to replace the boiler that would be in lieu of the district heat system. And it goes into some details there. I don't know if that matters to everybody, but 560,000 BTU boiler system estimated at $45,000. That quote was as of November of last year. So it's fairly recent, I think pretty good for estimate purposes and budget purposes before we go out and get actual quotes for the install. This includes gas piping, venting, expansion tank, primary loop and piping and pump. The hot water source for the building is also through district heat currently. And so this $5,000 additional would be for a water heater. And that's a estimate for a residential water heater to get installed. And this would be for the showers and sinks at this point. That is currently, it's one of the few buildings that has that district heat is providing that service as well. So the staff recommendation here would be to convert the boiler, which is a gas system, convert it to the boiler heat for $45,000, and add the water heater for $5,000 for a total estimate of $50,000, which is, by the way, what we have in the CIP, approved CIP. City Hall, this one may generate some discussion. It kind of depends on what is decided, whether we demo the building in the future or whether we maintain it to sell in the future. That's kind of what may determine the size of this boiler. So if the building is sold, that's why I tried to lay out here, if the building is sold or maintained to sell, we put a single 260,000 BTU boiler system in, which would be appropriate to heat it. That system is estimated at $21,000. and would again include gas piping, venting, expansion tank, primary loop piping, and pump. The new tenant, whoever that might be, could at that point leave alone or add additional boiler for a redundant system if they so choose. The if the building is demolished, I would propose put a larger boiler in, and we've jumped the estimate up to 27,000 for about 25% increase. By putting the larger boiler in, it would serve today's purpose as well as have the potential to remove and move to the new city hall to aid in that system up there and be able to salvage, seems like a bad term for a new facility, but use that boiler at the new city hall. That option would be estimated at 27,000. So in this one, the staff recommendation would be to convert, of course, to the boiler heat, and the size and cost would be completely dependent on the council's decision for the existing city hall building. All that being said, Mr. Chair, we have 50,000 in each of the CIPs for the auditorium and the city hall, and Rack 8 has 12,000 in the operating budget for their conversion. So that 12,000 is enough for the electric heat for the Rack 8, but not enough for the gas. The auditorium is right on what we estimated, and City Hall is, let's say, roughly half of what we estimated. So if gas was chosen for Rack 8, there is City Hall money for the conversion from district heat to cover the overage on the Rack 8. So I feel confident that we have enough money in the three systems or the three budgets to cover the three systems. And that's my biggest spiel, Mr. Chair. Up to you.
It was a good spiel. Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Question for our city administrator. Procedurally, might it be a good idea for us to just take these as individual projects and therefore individual resolutions so we could make a motion on each, have discussion on each like that, so three separate actions?
Mr. Chair, I would do that, yeah. It's just be simpler to understand if they were handled separately.
I'm kind of in agreement with you, and it's also because there may be further discussion at the council level, and it will be much easier at the council level to discuss these as individual projects rather than pieces of a big, larger project, less confusion and whatnot. So going back to the very beginning, we started discussion on Rack 8, looking for what the committee would like to do if they'd like to move this forward for discussion.
Can we have a discussion before we make the motion, or you want the motion first?
I think the motion technically should be first, and we can discuss, and then if we want to rescind or if we want to vote it down or vote it forward, we still have all of our options.
All right, I'll make the motion.
Second.
Julie, okay. Okay.
And a second, to go with staff's recommendation for the Rack 8 building, converting the heating system to electric heat for an estimate of $10,000. Discussion by the committee.
I would have a question, Andrew.
Audrey first, and then Mr. Alvarado. Go ahead, Audrey.
My question was if we were to sell that building, if we were to look at moving them when we get to move, build, etc., what kind of are we doing ourselves a disfavor by having a different type of heat system and all the old equipment still hanging around in there?
Mr. Chair, from my standpoint, this would all be a new system. And so if you go the electric, it's going to be new baseboards. If you go gas, it's going to be new, it might be the same ductwork, but it's going to be a new system running through that ductwork. Does that make sense? Or did I answer the question correctly?
Maybe I misunderstood, because it sounded like you would leave the other system in the building. That's why it was less expensive, was not to remove all the other items. So it was just a clarification.
No, the old system goes away regardless. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you. And I don't know if I want to go down this rabbit hole right now as far as what's going to happen with Rack 8. Personally, it doesn't make sense for us to think about moving Rack 8. We want to have a presence in downtown, especially with the city hall being moved out where it's being moved. And I understand that there might be discussions with another party involved with the Main Street that might want an office there. So I don't think it would be advantageous to see about us going and moving out of that space personally. But my question is regarding the heating. Now, I know there's some big spaces in back there. What's your thoughts with a baseboard electric heat be able to maintain a comfortable level of warmth, Sean?
Councilmember Fernando, you know, I gotta admit I've not been in the back of that building. And when they were, I can only assume at this point that when they were putting these quotes and these estimates together, that they took that into account and they sized it accordingly. So my short answer would be, yes, the electric heat will cover and be warm enough for the size of the building. But that also ties into the comment about your utility bill will be higher to get to that same level of comfort.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know, like I said, it's a studio and, you know, a lot of time that's a big space. And I just want to make sure that if it's utilized, that the people using it aren't in December year round, so to speak. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Fernando. I know Julie is here. She may have something to say. I want to give her an opportunity to speak if you wish, Julie.
Well, I was thinking kind of the opposite of Councilmember Alvarado and thinking that we would be moving it out to the new City Hall, whatever year that would happen. So I was thinking the less the better of what we invest into the building. But then I also can appreciate what Audrey was saying is if for resale, then if we only have electric heat, is that going to diminish the value? So I think without knowing the future of that building, I think it's tough to make a decision, but I don't know if that's the discussion we'll be having now.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Administrator Grommets, could you add in some comments?
Well, having been a person that is never wanting for talking time, heck yeah. you know, each system has the pros and cons to it, and that's what makes this kind of hard. Compounding that with the discussion about you know, that in all likelihood, Mid-Minnesota will not be coming out to the new City Hall. They'll be finding their own location prior to City Hall being constructed. So, and the City Council members that I've been, you know, talking to have also stated that, you know, maybe Rack 8 could move out there because, you know, kind of like one-stop shop. Now, that's a decision that has yet to be made. But if I was going to recommend something, I think the staff recommendation of probably the lowest cost going in. I've lived in an all-electric house before. And, you know, there are some benefits. You know, you can turn specific rooms lower in temperature than other rooms, you know, instead of having, you know, one space heated at one temperature, you can really fine tune it. you know, three bedroom house, you can put two bedrooms, you know, cold and one warm. So there are things you can probably do much easier with electric than not. So I guess until the decision whether or not Rack 8 moves out to City Hall is made, I would fall on the side of, you know, electric heat's not the end of the world. It does provide the service that it's responsible for, and it buys time. If a buyer wants to upgrade, that's fine. But most people would say, okay, does it have a heating system? Yes, it does. Is it the one they want? I don't know. But to not put one in puts us in a bad situation. So we have to do one or the other. And at this time, I guess I would recommend the electric.
Okay, anybody wish to speak or add further comments after hearing the thoughts of everybody else? Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what our administrator said. I think that electric heat, based on the recommendation of our public works director, is probably the way to go. I know that we're going to have discussions on the future location of Rack 8, and that's going to have its own issues. I think you know where I stand on it. I don't think we should move it, but that's another day, another discussion. But I agree with moving this forward at the $10,000 level and getting the electric heat put in. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. I tend to agree that I think that the major discussion about the location of Rack 8, that's a completely different discussion. And so until then, if staff has determined that the electric heat system is both adequate and also cost effective, regardless of the decision that we make, kind of seems like a little bit of a win-win, because we can still go either direction, or we could go a third direction with where we want to go with Rack 8. But either way, we know that we've spent our money wisely, and that those other decisions can still be made, and we're addressing the problem. They will have heat regardless. Further thoughts before we vote? Julie, anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, let's go ahead and vote. We have a motion and a second on the table regarding the heating system for Rack 8. And the motion would be to authorize the conversion of the Rack 8 building to electric heat for an estimated $10,000. And we'll go ahead and put that to vote, starting with Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Alvarado?
Aye.
And myself, I vote aye as well. That motion passes. Now on to our discussion of the auditorium. Looking for any action from the committee for discussion that may follow.
Motion
I'll
to
move that we install the hot water heater and the boiler system for $50,000.
I will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to follow staff's recommendation for conversion to a gas boiler for the heating system at an estimated cost of $50,000. Open it up for discussion. Committee? Fernando, go ahead.
Sean, now we've got $5,000 for a boiler, a hot water heater. Is that what I'm understanding?
No, that's incorrect. This would be like a residential water heater.
Okay.
This is just for the hot water in the sinks and showers.
Okay. Is it so? What's the capacity of that?
Councilmember Alvarado, we didn't actually quote that out. We put an estimate in there because we will need to quote it out, but we didn't do that at this time. So. Okay. That's part of the discussion that needs to happen, is how much do we provide. Right now we've got two locker rooms and a number of sinks. I don't think it's going to take a full commercial grade, but if it's determined it does, then we'll do that as well.
Okay. Okay. So what I'm understanding then is that the $5,000 is just a placeholder until we get quotes.
That's correct. Unless there's additional direction that the council would like me to go on that specific water heater, the proposal here is that we put one in, and at this point, it's estimated that $5,000 will cover that.
Okay. Thank you.
We don't have. I'm sorry.
Looks to me from preliminary visuals, thank you Google and the interwebs, large size top of the line Polaris commercial water heaters run about $3,000 to $3,500, and then you'd have your installation costs and whatnot. So I don't think that guesstimate of $5,000 is that far off. Thoughts, Sean?
No, and that's what we did. We didn't put any, like I say, we didn't put full specs together until the council decided that that's what we're doing. And that's what we're hoping to do today is get that direction. We'll put the quotes together, get authorization to do that, and then give the council a chance to look at it at that point.
Audrey or Julie, do you wish to ask any questions or make any comments?
Julie, no questions. I go along with staff's recommendation.
Okay.
Andrew, good.
Yeah, go ahead, Audrey.
No, I'm good. I'm fine.
You're good. Okay. Anybody, Administrator Grommets, you're good. Well, this is staff's recommendation, so I assume that means you're good with it.
Yeah, this is good. This, you know, at this point in time, we won't know the exact numbers until the quotes come in. So this is a good start.
I think the 560,000 BTU boiler system, that seems about right to me. And if they're putting a placeholder of 5,000 for even, you know, 100 gallon commercial grade water heater, that's a lot of hot water. I wish I had that in my house, gosh. But anyways, that's aside from the point. Looks to me like it all shakes out and makes sense. So with no further questions or comments, let's go ahead and try and move forward on this or take action. We have a motion on the table and a second to follow staff's recommendation with the city auditorium authorizing conversion to a gas boiler system, including also a hot water heater for an estimated total of $50,000. Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Alvarado.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. It's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Our next item out of the three would be the City Hall building. How would the committee like to proceed?
I would make a motion to proceed with the staff recommendation of the $21,000 for a 2600 BTU boiler. And I can't read the small print. I'm not saying my eyes are getting old, but I'm saying. But I would go along with their staff recommendation on the City Hall boiler and potentially using it at the new city auditorium, city offices and the community center.
Okay, I believe that optional upgrade, I believe Sean said that's a larger system, so that would be the $27,000 amount. Sean, is that correct? Yes, that is correct. He is signaling. So do you wish for the $21,000 boilerplate? You like that one? The $21,000 boilerplate system? Or are you in favor of the upgraded system that could be moved?
I believe I would. Of course, it's going to depend on what happens to the building. If we keep the building intact, you know, we probably leave the boiler there for $21,000. If we raise the building and sell the plot there, then we'd want the $27,000. Pardon me.
I agree, but I'm going to force you to make a choice for your motion.
I'm going to say I'm going to go with the 27,000 one, I guess.
Okay.
With the idea that they're going to raise the building and start fresh there.
Okay, we have a motion on the table authorizing staff's recommendation of conversion to a gas boiler, and the motion is indicating that we would authorize the estimated $27,000 system that could potentially be moved into a new structure if and when necessary. Do we have a second?
I'll second it, Julie.
I'll let Kelsey figure out who seconded that, but discussion.
Okay, I would like to say something.
Okay, Julie, go ahead, and then we'll get some comments from our administrator.
Okay, the likelihood of moving it to the new building, I mean, what are the chances of really doing that? I would think that they would want their own system, not having to retrofit something from another building into a brand new building. I just, for some reason, I feel like that is going to cause problems. I don't know if anybody can answer that for me.
Sean, is the major player in that cost, is that the infrastructure surrounding the boiler, or is the major player in that boiler the actual boiler unit itself? Because I think that has something to do with the usability or the feasibility of using it someplace else in the future.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, let me look, and I'm looking at an actual quote that I have in front of me from Rack 8 when they put the quote together for the gas. So I'm going to assume that they're the same. They don't break it down. They give us a total and then a list of items that they're working on. And so it's very hard to tell what the major line item, if you will, of cost would be, because it's a quite extensive list of new piping and removing piping and duct work and everything else. And so I don't know that I would have a guess without reaching out to the people that gave us that original estimate to see what the, you know, is there one item that costs 50% of that? I can't answer that.
I guess I would somewhat agree with Julie in that if we dig into it a little bit further and talking about moving systems, I would think a major ticket item would be the boiler unit itself, because the actual piping and all that, like Julie said, trying to retrofit that into a new space may be difficult. Whereas if it's the boiler unit itself that's carrying a lot of the value there, that makes it, I mean, it's going to be a valuable item regardless. But my point is, if all the other piping around it is a bulk of that cost, well, then we know that that's going to be gone.
I understand your question now, Mr. Chair. No, I would not propose moving any of the piping or pipe network. I would just move the boiler.
And I totally understand that, but would even moving the boiler, I mean, is that something that a construction company, contractor, whatever, is that something they're going to want to do?
What I would propose at that point, Councilmember Osmus, is that you're going to have a mechanical contractor sub at the new facility. And what you would say is, this is the system, this is the boiler we're putting in that new building. And this, like you say, again, back to the, if this is what council decides to do, we can make it happen by putting that on the contract of the mechanical subcontractor and say, this is the boiler, you need to place this boiler in this building.
Okay. So we'd have to definitely have it be big enough to be able to fit it. But yes, you can say that you can do that, and I understand that, but realistically, is that something somebody would do?
It's not ideal.
Okay, we got some other questions, but I'd like to hear any available extra wisdom our city administrator might have before we proceed with our questions.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I think the only thing I would add at this point in time is we could actually go out with an alternate on this. Here's what we want. Here's the bigger size as an alternate and see if there's actually a big difference in the price. And then that buys us time to have discussion, you know, more on what are we going to do with the building and is it worthwhile? Because that's, you know, in my mind, if the difference was $3,000 or $1,500, you know, to upgrade it, you know, that might be a difference in, you know, where you say no or heck yeah, for $1,500, we'll get the bigger size, because then the cost of actually moving it to the new city hall, you know, may not be that big of a deal, you know, in the overall picture. So all on the other ones, I think we choose one or the other, you know, auditorium, there is only one, but on the city hall, we have an option. So why don't we just bid the estimated $21,000 unit and has an alternate? What's the price if we up the size on the boiler so that we can take it with us if we leave? And then that decision, you know, can be made, you know, a month from now or, you know, after the council's had more time to talk about the subject.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Yeah, and I also, as I was reading through this, I reread in the paragraph and I saw the word redundant. And that I think that's important here, what our city engineer is talking about when he's talking about redundancy is, for example, if you decide to use, if there's a particular space in the new building, or if there's, you know, if we would like that system redundancy, so we want a safety margin of if our primary system is not adequate for one area, or if our primary system failed, you have that redundancy or the redundant capability because it's something that you already needed someplace else, so you're able to build it in, adds a level of safety margin. So I can appreciate that. I think Audrey had her hand up first. So Audrey first and then Fernando.
So my first question was going to be the difference between the two and is the $21,000 figure adequate to heat the city hall project? You know, what was that difference? And I don't know that we really got a clear definition of the difference between 21 and 27. I happen to agree with Julie that I find it hard to believe that we would actually move the boiler into a new building. We have no idea of size, any of that, and you know, with those systems, maybe there's another city building that it could be moved into. I know that Public Works is those kinds of things. That's a different subject. I also don't know that this council should be making a decision right now on the future of the city hall. We have not talked about the new city hall other than the mayor's indicated that we probably should put it on hold. And so if we end up doing that, what's the time frame? And, you know, if it ends up to be a few years, I guess I'm still questioning as Julie is, would you want to put a used boiler into a new city hall? And so that's my first question. I like what Brian is saying to check it out. I'm fine with that. I'm just not sure that we're ready to have a discussion about tearing down the building or leaving it right now because we don't know when we're going to be out of it.
Thank you, Audrey. Yeah, I agree with that. I think we need to be making decisions for the now and not based on hypotheticals, because as of right now, the hypotheticals are a coin toss. So I think we got to do what makes sense right now. And keeping in mind that things can change in the future, but you know, just keeping our business right now as being the most important. Fernando.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. After hearing the discussion and contemplating what is being said, I would like to change my motion to reflect the lower boiler price. I agree with what Audrey and Julie are saying that, you know, will the boiler that we put in this current city hall have the capacity to heat a new city hall or in community center. I don't know. We don't know if the square footage is going to be the same. Are we going to end up buying additional heating apparatus to address the new city hall? Should we go down there plus what we have? So with that being said, I would like to go to the lower price, do what Brian suggested, see what the how much add-on cost it would be to go with a higher priced one. I would request that I could adjust my motion.
Yeah, we'll just take that as a friendly amendment. The motioner has made the amendment to authorize the staff to go ahead and bid out the lower cost boiler system with pricing, or with including the higher priced boiler system as an alternate. Is the seconder to the motion friendly to that?
Not sure which one got that, but I am.
I am, if it was me.
I think we're both good.
You know what? I guess technically that it's got to be one of y'all. So looks like that will stand as a friendly amendment. Mr. Christensen, your thoughts?
One thought, and not to change things up even more, but do we even, it sounds like from this committee anyway, I'm getting the impression that it really doesn't matter what that higher price one is going to come in at. Do we even want to worry about an amendment or an addendum to the original bid?
Audrey, go ahead.
So clarify the difference between the two, because I didn't hear clearly what the difference was between the two units, between the 21 and the 27.
Sure, the $21,000 one is for a 260,000 BTU unit that would heat on a single unit basis existing city hall. The $27,000 number is an estimate of the upcharge because of an increase in square footage. We don't have a number for that. We estimated another 25% cost to that boiler to increase the size for a heating unit, fully knowing full well that it would be one in the redundant system of a new city hall if it got moved. That makes sense?
So, Sean, this is like you are looking at two cars and you only need 500 horsepower right now, but in case you need to be running with 750 horsepower in the near future, that's the route you might be going?
Yeah, pretty much. So I need a half ton pickup, but someday I might own a big trailer that I need a 3/4 ton. So should I get the 3/4 ton now? So I would agree with that analogy.
Andrew?
Go ahead.
So taking it back to the heating system, the $21,000 estimate will heat the current city hall in the capacity it needs to be heated. Correct?
Yes, but the caveat is it's a single system and it's not a redundant system. Neither one of them is. And so if you were going to stay in city hall for a long period of time, I would recommend a redundant system. When we started talking about temporary heat sources and everything, we went with a single system with, yes, enough to heat this building, provided it doesn't go down.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
But is the $27,000 one then solve that problem? No, it's just bigger.
Correct. Just bigger. Still a single system. Anticipating that the new city hall will be bigger than the existing city hall.
Sean, what does this cost to start talking redundant systems? Like a lot more money?
No, I want to say, and I've got the single system in front of me right now, I want to say it was $30,000 to go to the redundant system of for the $260,000. 30 to 35, if I remember right. It was not double.
Fernando, go ahead.
Thank you. Sean, I was just, okay. Just explain to me one more time, redundant system. Are you talking like if the main system fails, you have a backup? Is that what you mean?
That's correct. Either system could heat the building on its own, but you've got two systems in case one goes down.
Okay. And could either one of them have a redundant system, like the 21,000 versus the 21,000 would not that we need a redundant system, but that could have one. But the 27,000 would be could be the main system, and then we would have a redundant system at the new city hall. Should we elect to go with that? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm afraid I led you guys down some confusing trails here, and I apologize for that. So each of these dollars would be a single system. One boiler, one system would run the building exactly the way it is right now. One is larger than the other. That's the simplified version of it. Each of these systems could be put in a redundant type situation in order to have zero out of service days, if you will, which is exactly what will happen at the new city hall, because that's the way they design new buildings now, will be a redundant system. So this larger boiler here, if it was chosen to use it in the new building, new city hall, would be one of the boilers used in that system, if that makes sense. And I will add that I was pretty close on my memory. A redundant system of that smaller one was $33,000 estimated.
I think I understand. Thank you, Sean.
Kelsey's quick on forwarding me the files I need.
Andrew.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I'd like to hear from our city administrator. And so here, and I'm not suggesting, I have no clue where we're going to go, so this is just hypothetical, but let's say we have to stay in City Hall for 5 years before we get the new City Hall built. Okay, how important is a redundant system? Or we decide that we move and we're going to sell the building. How important is a redundant system in the building?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, I guess from my perspective, I could easily see us just going with the single system, the 21,000, again, because we're just trying to buy time. Do we run a risk? Yes, we do run a risk that if something breaks, we won't have heat. But I don't know that I would put a redundant system in two boilers in City Hall. If that were the plan, then I do believe that we could take those boilers and move to the new city hall, sell the little one or sell a smaller one or do whatever we got to do. But we could move that. I mean, this is no different than, you know, the analogy we're talking about trucks before. You want a big engine, a 700 horsepower engine in your truck. You can replace your 500 horse engine if you so desire. This is just disconnecting it from the piping, you know, picking it up and moving it out the door. So I don't know that this is an inhibitor to use it in the new facility. But as Sean pointed out, we likely will have two systems anyway. So, you know, we put a new system in and we drag along a two-year-old system to go into the new facility. I don't see that as a problem either. So I guess I would go with the lowest boiler system at this point. But, you know, not knowing what the future holds, I think I would just say let's get by, you know, with a couple of years and see where this takes us. Quite honestly, half the offices at City Hall have little heaters under their desks the way it is now. So, you know, in worst case scenario, you know, there is some heat there.
Julie, since I can't see you, oh, sorry, Audrey, since I can't see you, Julie, do you have any questions or comments?
Nope, I pretty much agree with what Brian just explained. I say go with the lower one, given the economic times we're in right now. Just do what we got to do to get by for the next couple of years. And like you said, if we can possibly sell it down the road, maybe. But the new City Hall will have its own system, and I just don't see moving it.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Audrey?
I just want further clarification that the less expensive system will heat the building as long as it works, that we can put the space heaters away and only have those as a backup if it would quit working. Because I think that's a concern, I think, just to make sure that people are comfortable. So am I correct in that Brian's comment was meant to be if the system went down?
That, at the risk of belaboring this longer, that's a loaded question. The system we currently have is enough to heat the building now, and we still have the space heaters under the desks. So short answer to your question, yes, this system will heat the building we have right now without space heaters.
With that said, that was the one reason that I do think, you know, maybe the lower cost system would be preferable, but I don't think it would hurt at all to bid that larger system, because if we found out that although their estimate is 27,000, say it came back at 24,900, you know, that might be enough to have us say, hey, let's, you know, we're talking the difference of $3,000 or whatever it ends up being, gives us the option to have the, I'm gonna say it again, but I'm not trying to be funny like I was before, give us the boilerplate option and then the little bit better option.
But the only reason we'd go with the larger one was the understanding we'd move it to the new building, correct?
Well, and the fact that it's just better. 750 horsepower is always better than 500. At least to me, or any guy.
But my understanding is the 21,000 one will do the job. So why would we need the 27,000 one?
Go ahead, our city administrator Grommets.
Mr. Chair and committee members, one thing that I learned through the years was if you go too big with anything, you know, like a furnace, we'll just stick with a furnace, that when the thermostat calls for it to kick in, it kicks in and kicks out, because it gets the heat up so fast, thermostat recognizes it and it shuts down, but the whole house never really got warm, just the thermostat did. So the HVAC people size the furnaces and boilers to the size of your building, because they want to run it, you know, like at 80%. So that's where your efficiencies are found, you know, with heating systems. So I guess I would sit there and say, let's leave it up to the plans and specs. I mean, obviously we've got a number of 260,000 BTU that had to come from somewhere, and it didn't come from me. It probably came from, you know, an HVAC person. So somebody has looked at the space that it needs, you know, looked at the space and said, this is the BTUs that it needs. And you don't want to double it, because that you run into the inefficiencies of operating a too large of a boiler for the size that you have. So I guess from my perspective, I think the if the $260,000 BTU was what was size for our space, then I would just go with that. If we thought we were going to move it to the new City Hall and it was going to be half of our redundant system, then I'd say, well, then upsize it and we'll take it along. But if we're just saying, let's just get by, then let's just quote the size that we need.
Thoughts? Questions? Audrey?
Will you repeat the motion that we currently have?
Do you want me to summarize? You want Councilmember Alvarado? I'm not sure Kelsey can chime in.
I just want to confirm. We're talking about the lesser amount and to bid it at the for the size that Brian was talking about. Correct?
Correct. I believe Fernando started with 27,000, and then he did a friendly amendment down to the $21,000 unit. And that's the unit that would fit the $260,000 BTU boiler for the size of the building it is right now.
That's correct.
Okay, then that's our motion. Further discussion? Okay, we're going to go ahead and vote. Motion on the table will be to convert the City Hall boiler system to the staff recommended 260,000 BTU amount with a estimated cost of $21,000. We'll go around. Councilwoman Nelson?
Aye.
Councilwoman Osmus?
Aye.
Councilman Alvarado?
Aye.
And I vote aye myself. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. And it looks like everything there is falling within budget, so we should be good. And especially a couple of the other areas, looks like we will have some excess. So that's a good deal. Anything else on our agenda, or anything that needs to be added to the agenda? I'll go ahead. I'm going to ask staff first if formally anything needs to be added. Administrator Grommets or Public Works Director Christensen?
Not at this time.
Okay, I saw Fernando's hand first. Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is probably directed to Public Works Director Mr. Christensen. I was just wondering, with oil prices being down, are you seeing a reflection in the what we're going to have to pay for our roads, our pavement, or a reduction in those costs? Because don't they use petroleum products to bind? And I was just wondering if there's going to be an advantage to the city. Have you heard? Or I was just wondering what your comments might be on that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Alvarado. So I actually have real world numbers as of 2 days ago when we opened our bids. We were hoping they would be lower because you're exactly right. Oil is a big dollar item when it comes to asphalt paving. Our estimates, when we did them a couple months ago, we estimated in the $80 to $90 per ton range. This is for, as an example, our quotes or our bids actually came back in the $50 to $60 range. So we had significant savings. And I don't know if you caught it the other night, but I did mention that because of that one item specifically, I haven't looked at every line item, but because of the oil prices, I'm fully convinced that that's why our prices were about 25% lower than our estimates.
That's good news. I was hoping that would be reflected in the bidding process. And so thank you very much. And that makes me very excited for the city. Thank you.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Thank you. I complimented Mr. Manzer. He was on the phone earlier about the dock out at Robbins Island and the video and all of that. And so I just want to say thank you for all of that. Well, my question will be to Mr. Christensen, or maybe to Mr. Grammets too. Just wondering how we're doing with Public Works staffing. Just the observation that the parks are really busy. There were an awful lot of people out at Robbins Island, and I know that the lights are going to be dealt with, but there's extension cords laying all over. And so just a concern if we've got enough staff out to be dealing with it. And also my next comment would be on potholes. We got someone out there marking them, or, there are you'd tip over on a bike, or I just was hoping that, are we out there marking them if we're not going to be out there fixing them? But mostly my concern is about adequate staffing for the amount of work that's out there for our community.
You want me to go first, Brian, or you?
No, go ahead.
Short answer, and I mentioned this when we first started talking about the governor's order. We do not have the staff available to do all of the everything that you mentioned to the level that people have expected in the past. We've got half our staff at home currently, and be honest with you, it's a struggle. It really is. It's a struggle to get the work done, and it's a struggle mentally and emotionally with the people that are home, and it's a struggle. The morale is diving in a hurry, to be honest with you, and it was at its highest level. So this whole thing has taken its toll on a lot of aspects, a lot of different aspects.
Mr. Chair and committee members, John and I will be talking here in the next day or so, talking about staffing levels and projects. You know, we're trying to balance the stay at home with the get done, the public safety services that have to be done. And sometimes, you know, the things that we really appreciate, the grass mowed and all of those good things, aren't nearly as public safety oriented as, you know, putting up signs or even as I was told by Gary that we need to get the weight limit signs removed so that the trucks don't see the signs and think it's road restricted yet. So we're working that through, and both Gary, Sean, and I will be working on that. Plus, it's an item for discussion at the labor committee to talk about, is the staffing appropriate, and should we make changes in various departments? As spring has sprung, there's more things to do, and everybody wants to get up and get going. And at this point in time, you know, it's still a balancing act of trying to follow the governor's emergency executive order and the city council's position to keep everybody at home if we can. But also keep in mind that Sean and Gary have the ability to bring staff in as needed. So, you know, if we've talked about the sludge hauling, we have a window where we haul sludge out into the fields to get that, you know, drilled in. I mean, that's one of those things where we say we can't do that in August. You know, that has to be done now. And you know, Sean and Gary both have the ability to say that's something we got to do. You know, we can't get away from that. So there are things we can do, and there are some things that we probably will still push off and delay, but we'll have that discussion with both Sean and Gary in the next couple of days.
I just want to say thank you for that. And again, I just want to clarify that my questions were coming from a safety standpoint for our public. And just the observation of spending an hour and a half at Robbins Island, you know, there's a lot of people coming and going, and then just the safety of the potholes with the street, whether you're riding bike or walking or your car. So that's where I was coming from, just with the services that I think the people are out and about looking for that. And I think we just need to be careful that we're making sure that that's being done. So thank you.
Fernando, go ahead.
Thank you. To answer one of Audrey's inquiries, they're going to have some volunteers out working on Sunday to collect the Lights of the World cords and stuff like that. We had been out there a couple weeks ago, and we got a lot of the some of the displays down. But it takes a many hands to get that job done. So on Sunday at 1 o'clock, they're going to try to, you know, do what you said, pick up the extension cords, take down some further lights and that sort of thing. So John and Scott, they're aware of it, and it's on the radar, and we want to get it done. But Those guys are working hard all the time, and it seems like the same handful doing all the work. So I hope they don't get burnt out. But if you know of anybody that's looking for volunteer work, Sunday at 1. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. My question is for Administrator Grommans. Just how much, I know that you alluded to the fact that we've given our department directors leeway to determine or make some determinations regarding what is necessary. Legally, with regards to the orders that have come down from the state and the statutes that revolve around that stuff, how much do they have enough leeway to actually determine some of these things that, maybe because the public is watching and we don't want to send the wrong messages anywhere. However, point well taken that while one person may say that filling potholes or patching the road, one person might say that's totally unnecessary, da 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 da. Another person can make a perfectly valid argument that there is a safety factor involved in those things. Does our public works department and the directors and the supervisors, do they have the leeway to be able to make those correct determinations and keep some of those people working that could and should be working?
Yeah, I think if you look at the governor's order specifically identifies, categories of people, of which Public Works was one of those exempted entities. But then you have to look at the guidance document, and I can't remember, it's a CISA, I think, guidance document that was attached to the order. And it talks about, if your public works people have to inspect bridges, if they have to, deal with traffic signal, electric traffic signals and things of that nature, that's what they identified, more of the emergency kind of things. If you have an intersection down, that creates a problem for, public safety for vehicles. And yet at the same time, the governor is also saying, well, yeah, but golf courses can go out and landscapers can go do work, but they really didn't come say, oh yeah, and city baseball diamonds, should be worked up. They never went that far, but because our public works people do the parks, one could argue the fact that yes, the governor opened up parks and they should be available. Then you've got the question of, are the public parks what they, what the governor was talking about, or is it the Stinger's ball diamond? And so you sit there, how important is making sure the ball diamond is up to par compared to other higher level type activities? And so that's the discussion that Sean, Gary, and I have been having. And Gary has put forth some tasks that probably should be addressed, like some pothole, repair and some other things. But yet, let's say grinding stumps is not an emergency thing. But if you've got people working and they could do 2 hours of grinding stumps to fill out an 8-hour day, you're getting some work out of them. So this is one of those things that ebbs and flows, I think, on a daily basis. And both Sean and Gary have the ability to look at the project and say, no, I need to call somebody in. Okay. Whether it's wastewater or street department, if this has to happen, they have the ability to say, I need 6 guys to come in today. And you pick those 6, you bring them in. And when the project's done, you can always send them home. So as we work through the analysis of which tasks fall to the bottom, let's say 1/3, and which are in the top 1/3, and then we'll have the third that's gray right in the middle. Does it go to public safety, or does it fall down to delay it and let it slide? So we're having those discussions, and we'll get there.
Thank you for those comments. I guess that's exactly kind of what I'm thinking about. It's it's unprecedented. I don't like hearing that morale is suffering, because we have a great, great public works department. We have great leadership in place. Our employees are awesome. Like, we knock it out of the park. So it hurts to hear that people are bumming about it. Now, I understand that you can say, well, people are bumming about it in other areas because of this job or that job they got laid off from or whatever, but it's our job right now to talk about public works and worry about public works. And so I guess I would just encourage the superintendent, the director, as well as yourself, find as much stuff that will need to be done that could be categorized as essential to public safety and that can be done safely. Find as much of that stuff as possible and let's get it done so that we can have people working, people accomplishing things that need to be accomplished either now or later, as long as they can do so in a safe manner, complying with what we need to comply with. Because the last thing that we need is, financial hardship and further, downward spiraling morale, feeling like they're getting behind on stuff and this and that, when there were actually things that could be deemed necessary enough to do. I'm only speaking from myself. The rest of the committee, they can feel however they want about it, but I don't like the level to which the economy is crippled right now. And I know that, we got to follow the governor's orders. I understand that, but there's also gray area in there that was purposely left as a gray area, because with government, there's no such thing as a loophole. Any loophole that's in there is meant to be there. So that's the way I feel about it. And like I said, as long as it can be done safely, I encourage that it be done so that people can be working and keeping this economy moving. Others can disagree with that. My feelings won't be hurt, but that's my own opinion. Audrey, go ahead.
Some things you said, Andrew, just triggered with me. We had the Convention and Visitors Bureau meeting yesterday, and the concern and the downward in the hotels and the restaurants and the tourism industry, and everybody's trying to think of ways to get people out and about and doing things. And I know there's different contests, and we're encouraging people to go out and ride bike, and encouraging people to go out and do a scavenger hunt. And so my concern again is, if we go back to Robbins Island or to go to some of the other parks, is that that we are safe there. The cords that I was referencing were laying by across the grass by the gazebo. They weren't cords other places. And so, I realize that there has to be safety there, but I do think that everybody's trying to find a way to keep people safe and to allow them to be out and about on these nice days. And so it does feel like we have a responsibility with our public works to create safe environments for people to be out and about in, if that's the case. So I'll quit with that.
Well, I definitely agree with that too. I guess my sentiment is just, we got to do whatever we can and create every avenue that we can. If we know that people are going to be out doing the things that you said, there may be some areas that maybe before we didn't think were such critical safety issues, but maybe now they are. And maybe those are the things that public works can be out there doing so that they don't necessarily feel like they're so unhinged that they're just completely cut off from the ability to do stuff and get stuff done. Because like I said, I don't see the upside of that personally. If it can be done with the whole social distancing compliance and all that stuff, being maintained, I don't see the good at just keeping people sitting at home. I really don't. Fernando, go ahead.
Defending the lights of the world. When we were out there the other day, the ground was frozen. There were some cables under ice, and we couldn't retrieve them. do we, you know, most of the volunteers are full-timers, but they got jobs and stuff like that. Do we wish we could spend more time out there? Sure. But it isn't realistic. So and I understand the safety aspect, and that's a very real concern. I don't want somebody to trip over a cord, get tangled up, do something foolish. I understand all that, but I would ask for your grace to understand that the volunteers are aware, they are doing what they can to try to get that portion of it cleaned up. I agree with Andrew and everything that he says about if there's a gray area and we can get somebody in to work safely justify, let's do it. We all want to be working, we all want to be busy, and I would encourage that also. Busy hands are a good thing. So okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Grommets.
Yeah, Sean and Gary have put together some plans that they have presented to me, still keeping shift workers but keeping them separated, and that's part of the mix too, is who's going where and what are the common areas and are they contaminating each other, so we want to keep them separated. They do have some good ideas, and that'll be part of the mix and the discussion as we go through this in the next day or two.
Andrew.
Okay. Go ahead, Audrey. Andrew.
I did listen.
And then Julie after Audrey.
Okay, thank you. I did listen to the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities had a webinar today on basically on the kind of issues that we're talking about. And one of the things that was asked was, who is our safety officer? And how are we handling the cleanliness and the sanitation and all of those things if we have those concerns? And so I do think that we have a responsibility to keep our employees safe, but I do think that there's work that can be done in a safe environment. And so I don't want to go back and forth about that we're exposing our employees. But I do think we need to make sure that we are meeting the safety requirements for all of our employees to, you know, in the work environments, whether they're working in City Hall or wherever they're working, the fire department, et cetera. And so I'm not sure who our safety officer is, but that was one of what our legal attorneys were talking about, with making sure that our cities are up to date on our safety plans and who is holding down the fort to make sure that masks are being used or cleanliness or sanitation is being done. So it feels like all of this fits together, but there has to be a work environment that allows people to work in a safe environment, but still allows them to get the work done.
Julie, I know that you want to talk, but I'm going to let Gary respond. He jumped on and would like to make a comment. Go ahead, Gary.
I just want to give you a heads up what we've done well before we even went to a shutdown. We moved our lunchroom out of our existing lunchroom, and we moved out into the next shop and spread everything out. And I've propped every indoor inside door open, so there's no doors to handle on the interior of the building. So as far as like, there is the only door we have going into a restroom is the women's restroom, when we only have one female employee, so we left that door alone. But as far as the male restroom and stuff, that's all, there's no doors to handle. And we've been constantly disinfecting all our lunchroom tables and spread out while we're having lunch. And so we've been doing things, we've been passing a lot of hand sanitizer, trying to limit the people and vehicles. We probably could do more. I mentioned that Sean and I and Brian will talk about, I have some other proposals of some things that we could do to separate our crews even further. If we can get most everybody back, we could still kind of keep social distancing. So we've been kind of working through it with what we had to work with. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that we aren't ignoring it, and we are spread out and trying to do the best we can with what we got.
Thank you, Gary. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, I'm not going to beat the dead horse. I have nothing new. I just agree with getting them working if there's work to do, as safe as possible. We got it. I just have a question about the brush site. Are we still going every day of the week?
Yeah, we are. And part, we did it twofold. So the people that have been on at home on their off week, like I have a group that are at home right now, they're the ones that are operating the brush site. We're not using any of our three brush site staff that have done in the past. And we've been open 6 days a week now from 9 to 5. So we cut an hour off on the end just to make it an 8-hour day. And then we've been having it open using our off week people out there just to get them to work. And it's gone quite well. If we go back to full staff at some point, then we might have to relook at those hours out there. Or I've got three guys, so we can still make it work if we use part-timers. And then just want to add that, you know, typically this time of year, we start hiring seasonal help, which would be anywhere from 8 to 10 people that, you know, those people do stuff that's, you know, helps with us. And I really don't have anybody lined up because I just don't know what the future holds as far as what we're going to do. So I pretty much told all my summer people to, if they can find something else, they should probably do it because I can't guarantee that we'll be bringing them in. So in all reality, we're up to 30 plus people in the summertime working on our staff. And, you know, we're running sometimes to keep things going at that rate too. So that's all. Thanks.
Okay, well, it looks like we kind of hammered that one home. Anything that anybody wants to see on a future agenda? Or should we just take it as it comes? Okay, I will stay in touch with Ms. Del Bosque as well as Public Works Director Christensen regarding our next agenda, and you will be emailed any information pertaining to that. Any other business? Go ahead, John.
Mr. Chair, I can tell you, I know of one item already that's on the meeting in 2 weeks, and that'll be the authorization for the West Highway 12 water line construction, and that will be in conjunction with the Y project as well as master plan that updates that water line running out from Coca-Cola to the old, or to County Road 5.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else that anybody has? Otherwise, if you have anything, feel free to email me. Feel free to email Sean or anybody else. We'll get it fit on there. Other than that, looks like we're done for the night. Maybe we have some time to go enjoy some sunshine. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Good meeting. Okay.